time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
We're back once again with Fred Malone, and Fred, we've heard quite a bit of news here concerning the president's dinner.
Yeah.
And now tell me, too, seems like every year or so, Historical Society people buy tickets for that rifle, the Henry rifle.
Right.
Are you doing that this year?
We are. It's a Henry 44 Magnum this year that we're raffling off, and we'll be selling tickets on that clear up through the dinner, so you can still buy those. They're $10 a piece, and there's limited to 400 tickets, when they're gone. And I'm not quite sure how ticket sales are going right now. I know there are tickets still available because I have some myself to sell. Oh. But Henry's one of the best rifles shotguns that you can buy. They're made here in the United States. And this one, of course, will be special because it will have the 50th anniversary logo of the Marion County Historical Society on the stock. So it's a one of a kind.
A collector's
item. There'll be none others like it. And if you're interested, you can either win the rifle, or if you don't want the rifle, you can take a cash option of $500.
Oh,
so we got so for those people that aren't interested in the rifle but want to participate and buy a ticket, they've still got a cash option. So
is that a single shot?
No, it's lever action. I think five shot, if I'm not mistaken,
is
what they hold. But it's 44 Magnum, great hunting rifle.
Sounds
for those people that are interested in hunting, deer, you could use it to hunt deer. So, and you can get those tickets from any board member, or you can stop at the museum and buy them. Or if you come to the dinner, we'll have them, and we'll have them on October the 24th out at the Crystal Lake presentation.
Oh,
they'll be available for sale out there that night, too, right?
Wow.
And I would imagine Randy will probably have the rifle out there so you can actually see it that night, too. But it's a beautiful rifle. I'd love to have it. A couple things I want to hit on, Charlie, before I have to leave.
I have to
leave at 11:30, so let me touch on a couple things from Malabar and from up in Wyandotte County. With Malabar, we have an event coming up on the 18th and 19th of this month. It's called Haunting at the Harvest. Now, it's not a scary thing. It's a family thing. You can experience a hayride through the harvest fields at Malabar. We're going to have a special movie in the barn. That's going to be on Saturday night, I believe. Yeah, Saturday night is the movie. And that is actually a movie that was made from one of Louis Brumfield's short stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't know what she's showing this year, but there were 12 movies made from Louis' books and or short stories. And we started this a couple years ago. So this will be the third time we've done it, and I'm not sure which one she's showing this year, but there will be that available. There's a fall hike for health on the 19th of October. That's from 8 until 2. And you can do that anytime you want in that time frame. Just stop at the visitor center. They'll give you a map. And you can sign up there. There'll be refreshments available. And we are pet friendly, so bring your dogs with you if they're people friendly. And they can walk with you. Then there's also a fall color hike scheduled for that same day from 11 to 1, and that will be led by a naturalist. So the hike for health is on your own. The fall color hike is from 11 to 1. That's guided by a naturalist. And then on the 26th of October is the last barn dance of the season, and that runs from 7 to 10. And that, again, is a tradition that was started by Louis Brumfield back in 1940 and has been carried on every year since then, wow, with the exception of the year the barn burnt in 93, and then we picked it back up again in 94 when the barn was rebuilt. So that's what's going on at Malabar for the balance of the month of October. Again, we'd love to see you over there. Malabar Colors, if you've never been over in Richland County in the fall, and you know because you had a store in Lucas for a while, it's absolutely beautiful over there. And hopefully this particular weekend will coincide with the leaf change.
I would think.
Now, this year, things have been off a little bit because of all that extreme hot weather that we had clear up until even last week. So you may not get the peak, but you're going to get some color then, sure, for those hikes that are coming up. Up in Wyandotte County, the Wyandotte County Historical Society have a program coming up. Actually, they got a couple programs still left here in October that I want to mention. They do a thing that's called Thursdays at the Museum throughout the year. Starts in June and runs clear up. I think the last one maybe is in October. But October the 24th, on the Thursday evening at the museum program, Kim Moore is going to be there from the Mohawk Historical Society, and he's actually going to give history of Sycamores. No, I'm sorry, I've got that messed up. His is on the 10th. His is tomorrow night. His is tomorrow night on the 10th. He's going to do a history of Sycamore in the early 1900s. That program starts at 7 o'clock, and it's free, and it's at the museum, and the museum is located on 8th Street there in Upper Sandusky.
Yeah, right near the downtown.
Yeah, very close to the downtown. Then on the 24th, the Thursday evening at the museum up there, is recent murder cases in Wyandotte County, and that's going to be presented by Ron Marvin Jr., who's the curator and the director for the museum and the Historical Society there in Wyandotte County. That'll be an interesting program too, and I'm sure that will include the Red Shoe murder case that occurred back in the early part of the 1900s. Right. So those are a couple things taking place in Upper Sandusky for the Wyandotte County Museum. And again, that's a beautiful museum. If you've never been there, I think they're only open on weekends now, but it's in an old Victorian home there, an Italianate Victorian home. Absolutely been gorgeous. They also have a one-room schoolhouse that they relocated to their site, so you can see that as well. But great place to go. Then the Mohawk Historical Society actually has a road trip scheduled for the Thursday, October the 17th, which will be next Thursday, and they are coming to the Marion County Historical Society Museum. We're going to have lunch with them at noon at Perkins, and then we're going to go up to the Historical Society around 1 o'clock, and they're going to tour the museum from about 1 until 3, which will, of course, include a tour of the Popcorn Museum. And then I've scheduled a trip out to Mary Ellen Withrow's Museum out at Primrose.
Really?
So the Historical Society, the Mohawk Historical Society, will also be going out to see Mary Ellen's Museum as well. So it's going to be a full day for the group from Sycamore and the surrounding area of the Mohawk School District. And I think Kim has said he's got two 12-passenger vans leased for the day to bring those folks down. Good. I know he's picking up in Sycamore at the community center, and then he's also making a stop at the Walmart in Upper Sandusky and picking up people that want to go there too. So I'm expecting at least 20 to 26 to 28 people on that tour. So, and that was something I arranged with Kim a couple of months ago. So I'm excited about having them down there because a lot of those people have never been to the museum here in Marion, nor have any of them, to my knowledge, been to Mary Ellen's museum out at Primrose. So I'm excited about that. Mary Ellen's excited about that. She's such a great host when you go out
for
there.
Sure, yes.
And I think I can make this announcement, but at some time in the future, Mary Ellen's museum will be coming to the Marion County Historical Society Museum. Yeah, right, right. Paper, so that was something that has been worked out between Mary Ellen and her family and the director at the museum. And we're happy to have that. And I think we've kind of got some ideas of where we're going to put it. My suggestion was to, you know, our gift shop is rather large. We don't sell that much anymore other than books. So my suggestion was to close off half of that gift shop area and turn that into the Mary Ellen Withrow room and make that all Mary Ellen's things in there. So I'm looking forward to it. I've become very good friends with Mary Ellen over the years and knew her quite well earlier when I was still president of the bank up in Sycamore. When she was state treasurer, she advised a couple of programs for small local banks where we could invest and get more money for our – get more interest for our money. And so I was very very happy to participate in that program for the First National Bank in Sycamore. And thanks to Mary Ellen, the bank was able to make a little extra money off our investments back in those days when she was state treasurer. So that was one of many programs that she came up with when she was state treasurer that, that benefited local communities and local banks. So very proud of her for doing what she did there and very proud of her as an individual and such a gracious lady. She really is. So I know the folks from up at the Mohawk Historical Society in that area are really looking forward to meeting Mary Ellen and taking a tour through her museum. So those are some of the things that are going on with Mohawk. And obviously it's coming up to wintertime, so our museum will be closing. I think, Kim, we'll have probably an open house in December. When I come back next month, I'll have the dates for that. Good. So,
Kim's last newsletter was so good. I derived a lot of questions out of that.
Yeah. And the banjo, Glenn Parks, the banjo guy that he had, we had him out at the senior center a couple of months ago. No and kidding. I called Kim and I said, Kim, you got to get Glenn Parks for up at the old Melmore Opera House. Yes. So he did. He actually had Glenn there on the 26th of September. We were gone, so I didn't get to go up, but he said they had a good crowd.
Well, that's good.
Glenn, have you ever heard Glenn? He's very entertaining.
No, I never have.
Yeah, he's in his 80s now, but he does a wonderful job. He's in the Banjo Hall of Fame, and he just does a great job. So.
Great. Okay, so, boy, a lot going on.
There is a lot
historically.
Going on. Yes, yes.
And once again, if you want a ticket to the presidential, for the dinner with the presidents, there might be a few left.
Yeah, there again, open seating I know is still available. I don't think there are any tickets left with the presidents. There may be one or two you could ask.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of open seating left. Don't wait too long, though, because the last week of October, they'll turn off the sales, so they won't be able to buy tickets after that. So you got a couple weeks left that you can get tickets for that. And you can get those by either going online, you can buy them online, use a PayPal, or you can stop at the museum any day, Monday through Friday, and go to the office door, ring the bell, and they'll let you in. Or you can go during museum hours, which are 1 to 4 Wednesday through Sunday currently, and they'll have them available there. Or you can call 740-387-4255. That's the office, and they'll hold them for you.
Good.
You can pick them up at the door, actually.
Yeah, so Fred's going to be leaving here in a few seconds, but you'll be back in
I will be back
the third Wednesday of November.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And so
Scott, you know I love fruitcake so much that for me it's not just a Christmas dessert.
Oh, Charlie, I would not want it any time of the year.
Oh, Scott, you've not lived until you've had mashed potatoes and fruitcake, birthday fruitcake, graduation fruitcake, cream of fruitcake. And all the possibilities are endless.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, back once again, and we'll be here till noon today. We sure do thank Fred Malone for coming in today and his first visit to our new headquarters here in the big building. Actually, It's owned by the building by what's her name?
Oh, Lois.
Lois Fisher.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I just want to mention real quick, Charlie. I will be on with Mike Wilson this coming Monday on his show from 5:15 to 6, and we'll be talking exclusively about the President's Dinner. So.
Good. Okay. All right. Very good. And so it is. It's a beautiful day outside. This is the kind of day that it would be good to get out and take a walk or take a drive. And the leaves are not full color yet, but they will be. This year is a little different than the others. Well, I've got some questions today, and I haven't much to give you. Maybe you would just like to... let me see. I have several tickets to the Haunted Trail at the Eco Center. And other than that, I've got tickets to the Wilds. But I have nothing to eat. I do not have any zoo tickets left right now. So let's just have some fun. See if you're good at answering questions. My very first one would be probably the toughest. There, remember the other day I mentioned on Route 4 at Chatfield, Ohio, they're going to install gates and a flasher system, which has never been there before, at least in recent history. But there will be gates and flashers. And so can you imagine all the people coming to a stop on their way to Lake Erie? But now that railroad is not used very often, so the gates won't be used that much, or the flashers. But occasionally, but here's what I want you to see if you can tell me. What railroad crosses Chatfield? And it's not Norfolk and Southern, and it's not CSX. What's the name of the railroad that goes through Chatfield, Ohio? And I think the same railroad goes through New Washington. What's the name of the railroad? I bet I've got you stumped today. I bet unless you're a railroad buff, likes railroading and everything about railroading, you might not know the answer to that. But it's an old, old railroad that's been around for probably over 100 years. And it still is the, even though the railroad might be managed by some other railroad, but it is owned by another railroad other than CSX and Norfolk and Southern. Now, what's the name of that railroad? That's a toughie. 740-383-9944. Okay, while you're thinking about that, I've got another question concerning transportation. And this one would be, on an old Plymouth automobile, the hood ornament was what? What was the ornament on an old Pontiac? Now, I had one. I can't remember if I had a 1938 Pontiac. It might have been even before that they had this ornament that I'm talking about. But by 1938, I think they had something that looked similar. What would that ornament have been on an older Plymouth automobile? You know, all the automobiles used to have radiator caps that were right out in the open. And after that, they had ornaments on the hood. Now, one of the cars... what was it, Cadillac, that had a kind of a delicate radiator cap or ornament, and people used to bend those. Oh, boy. But anyhow, what was it on an old Plymouth automobile? What was the radiator cap symbolizing? 7403, how many of you had an old Plymouth? Well, I did. My 38 Plymouth got me to Marion for the first couple of years when I went to work here in 1952. And that old 1938 Plymouth was so so dilapidated that when I roomed at Mrs. Kerr's boarding house in Marion, and I had to park in the street, and it was during the winter time that I tried to keep the engine warm enough that it would start. And so I would put a lantern in the street underneath the oil crankcase to kind of keep the oil more a little warmer. Oh, my. The things you would do. Can you imagine today parking your car on a street and putting a lantern underneath it to help keep the oil warm so it would the engine would turn over? Oh, here's a caller. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Was it an Indian Head?
No, it wasn't Indian Head. It was something, you know, of that era, though. You okay. Keep thinking, yeah.
And was the railroad the B&O?
No, it wasn't the B&O.
Okay,
thank you. Okay, yeah, the railroad actually had three names to it. Well, in fact, Wheeling was one. Wheeling. And the other word was lake. The other word, E, for Erie. Now, what was the name of, what was the name of that railroad? 740-383-9944. Yeah, you don't see that railroad on any cars or any engines anymore. All right, now let me see. Where was Columbus born? I want to know the name of the town. What town or what city was Columbus, the navigator, the guy that supposedly discovered America, although I think he was a little late getting here because we had already been discovered by the Vikings long before that. But where was Columbus born? The name of the city and country where Columbus was born. I know you can Google that. So go ahead, Googlers. 7403-3-9944. I haven't much to give away today, but just for the fun of it, you know, it's fun to answer, to look up these questions, especially what city and country would you find young Columbus? What was his first, Columbus, what was his real What was his whole name? I can't remember. What was Columbus's full name? Was that his last name or his first name? Oh, my goodness. It must have been his last name. Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
I'm not going to answer a question, Charlie.
Okay.
I saw on the TV yesterday, it could be a little bit later news, but they don't want Columbus Day anymore. They want to rename it.
That's right.
And
yeah.
Did you see that on the TV?
No, but I know there's been this rub about Columbus and some of the evil deeds that he did when he landed at Haiti.
Now, they said the young college kids are going more. Is it towards, like, how the Democrats are thinking? I'm not into that stuff.
Yeah.
And they want to name it... I forget what they want to name it. The 10 states have already changed it. It's not going to be Columbus Day, I guess. And there's, mostly, I think it's Michigan, Nevada, about three states or four out that way. And I think it was maybe Wisconsin. There were some up there. And it said the college students are, I'm not going to say are radical, but they're changing their way of thinking. They want to change, like, things that were those monuments. They want to start changing all that stuff.
Wow, and just think, Columbus, Ohio, they've got a big, big statue of Columbus.
Well, they said it's changing our history because, you know, how they don't like their statues, they're doing all kinds of stuff.
Yes,
they
yes.
They said that they're wanting to change all that stuff, not that the history, it's not being taught, I guess, in the schools like that, and most of them aren't into it or something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I forget the name that they were calling that. It was something, I don't know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's like, I'm not a person for change, so...
I
don't like change, but
I
believe that. You know, Columbus Day, you hear it, and then all at once it's going to be called, you know, I think it started with an I, but I'm not for sure. But
yeah.
They said, yeah, there's there's that group of people, they're wanting to change all this stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I was wondering, Columbus, was that his last name or his first name? Must have been his last.
I don't know, but they said really he wasn't the first one that discovered America. There's another person that was before him.
Yeah, and then the Vikings before that. Yeah,
So they're, yeah, 10 states have already, I guess in the whole state, it's not Columbus Day anymore. And I don't know if they're all using this other name, are using the same name or not. But they had a young guy, and he was talking about the colleges, how they are the young people are, you know, rethinking everything totally different.
Oh, yes, they
are. And they want it all changed.
I predicted, too, that when a child is born, eventually it'd be up to the parents to decide whether it's male or female. It's getting about to that point.
Yeah, and you can't say anything. You can't look at anybody. You can't do anything.
Well, that's for sure, yes.
I know. I can't believe a lot of this stuff, and it's like, but
it's becoming a different world that we're living in.
Yeah, I lived in a very small town, and we never even thought about, you know, guns, walking. We were just told never to get in anybody's car, you know.
Yeah, right.
That was the main thing. You didn't do that. And other than that, and we never heard of all this shooting. If I was a kid growing up now, I'd be so paranoid, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, right.
So.
And we have so much television coverage that anybody that commits an act gets all this publicity.
Oh, yeah.
And a people with a warped mind might say to themselves, hey, that's for me, too.
Yeah, and then there's something about that movie that Joker's on.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about that, but they're saying, like, there might be different stuff going on, and it's like, I don't get that much. I just have that fire stick, and I just get certain things.
Yes.
And it's like, why do you people keep saying this for, like, I don't know, weeks? Like, somebody's going to do something if they go to this movie. I don't know if they expect for them to be shot up or what. Why do you keep saying this stuff?
And I think kids now are becoming fearsome of clowns. A lot of children don't like clowns anymore.
Oh, yeah, I heard something about clowns, yeah.
Yes. So things are changing. I'm glad.
Yeah, well, people keep saying the same thing over. You know, when I was growing up, you just didn't talk that much. You were told to do something and you did it or whatever. If not, you got spanked or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't repeat. And this impeachment thing, you just hear it,
my thoughts, if some other country would like to invade or destroy United States, they could do it now. That we're all interested more in an impeachment than we are our country.
Well, didn't you hear years ago that if the United States is ever taken over, there won't be a single shot or something fired? I heard that, I think, when I was growing up.
Yeah. And
that there wouldn't be a single shot fired. That I don't know how they're going to do it.
Could be,
be a dictator or guns, it's not going to really protect you because they're using all these things that fly.
Yeah,
if they want to come over here, China, some country could have thousands of them and send them all at once.
Yeah.
And
okay. Hey, I got a break.
Know, and bomb you, and a gun's not going to do you any good because you can't run.
Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do too, but after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, back once again. We'll be here till noon today, which is only about 13 minutes from now. the only thing going on in Washington, apparently, is the thing about impeachment. Don't we have a Congress yet? Have they passed any bills? What is the people, the Senate and the in the Congress, and what have they done this year other than other than not legislating? Oh my goodness! So we're going through one of those time periods that people. Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah.
That's Christopher Columbus.
That's right. Yeah. Did I forget that?
Yeah, I think he was born in Genoa, Italy.
Yeah, you're right. Genoa, Italy.
That's what I learned in history.
Yeah. But boy, he's getting a rub now.
Yeah, it's like I think it was Judy that was just talking, said they want to change history, and you can't change history.
It happened, yeah.
It's confusing to everybody, and
I guess so.
Yeah,
but
you can educate people of what history was and the good and the bad, but you can't change it.
That's right. It's set in concrete, you might say.
That's right. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Charlie. Thanks,
Christopher. Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
Why did I see? I forgot. It was Christopher Columbus. Oh my goodness. Now, with all this talk about Columbus being an evil person, what would... And the thing is, supposedly, I wasn't there, when Columbus landed in Haiti, he left off some of his men to go searching for gold, and he was going to come back later and pick up the gold. Well, Columbus's men killed a lot of people in Haiti searching for gold. And I don't know if they ever found any. But when Columbus came back, I don't know if all of his men were there, but there are certainly a lot of people they killed. And that's why the big anti-Columbus thing, because of what he did or had done in Haiti searching for gold. And so it goes. Well, the time is 11:48 and a half. What else can I ask you? tomorrow, well, I'll ask you today. What is the favorite candy over the years of Halloween? There is one type of candy. It's not Mars or Milky Way or any of those. It's another. I used to work with an engineer at the radio station. And his dad used to bring him a sack of this candy every night, along with his meal. And the engineer never gained any weight at all. But what is the Halloween candy? What is the most popular Halloween candy? And I think it came about from what we used to do in trick-or-treating. You know, when I was growing up, we did tricks. We didn't knock on the door necessarily all the time to ask about trick-or-treating. We just did tricks. We shouldn't have, I know. What we used to do was to take an empty wooden spool of thread and carve notches in the outer rim of that wooden spool. And then we would wrap string around that, maybe put a nail through the hole in the center, and then wrap it with string and hold it against a window and then pull on the string. And when you did that, the notches in the rim of that spool of thread made it sound like the end of the world was coming against the window. Oh, I can hear it yet. And hopefully, I'm sure it's not being done anymore. But try it sometime. But where would you find a wooden spool of thread anymore? Yeah, unless you've got some that your mother had years ago. Now they have plastic spools of thread. How many people actually sew anymore? I often wonder. I noticed at the Wyandotte County Fair, a lady has been there for years and years selling sewing machines. And, of course, now they're all computerized. You can program them to put down what type of fancy stitching or whatever you want. Oh, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
Would the answer to the old Pontiac emblem be chief?
Be a what? A chief? No, it was some form of transportation.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it was the hood ornament was the symbol of some form of transportation. And what
some
was
form
it?
Of transportation.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be chief, huh?
No, it wasn't chief. Okay, so it Plymouth. Now, what does the name Plymouth bring up in your mind? The Mayflower, does it? Now, okay, let me tell you. The hood ornament on the old Plymouth was a ship, a sailing ship. Well, that goes back a long way. Yeah, so that was Plymouth, you know, derived from Plymouth, Massachusetts, of course, and the Mayflower and whatever. Yeah, the old hood ornament. Oh, here we go. Yes, caller. Whoops. Did I lose you, caller? Go ahead.
No, it's me again. Is the Halloween candy corn?
Yes, candy
that
corn.
That candy corn.
Yes, that yes. is the Halloween candy.
Yeah. That's, you didn't see too much candy years ago, you know, growing up, and that was one of them.
Yeah,
so.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I can taste it now. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye. All right, yes. Candy corn is the Halloween candy nowadays, though. it's all candy bars and tons and tons of candy will be given away. This every organization will be giving away candy, bags of it, bars of it, and not a toothbrush among it. But I wonder what I would love to talk to a dentist sometime and ask a dentist about teeth. And do children actually get cavities, or do they brush their teeth regularly and avoid cavities? That would be interesting to know, because they sure do eat a lot of candy at Halloween. Oh, tons and tons of it. Of course, the candy companies employ a lot of people, like Hershey's. And if you want candy, you ought to stop up at Hershey's in Pennsylvania. Woo! A huge room full of candy. But I don't think they have any candy corn. Candy corn is the candy of Halloween. Here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, that Pontiac emblem, would that be an airplane?
No, it was a ship.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right, thanks. Okay, yeah. Yep. Yeah, it used to be a ship. Boy, that was a long time ago. I can still see it, though. And even though the radiator cap was no longer exposed, it was under your hood, the hood had the symbol on top. In fact, how many cars today still have hood ornaments, a derivation of the old radiator cap? I don't know if any of them do. Probably wouldn't fit in the modernization of the automobile. But remember, Rolls-Royce has a radiator cap, and Cadillac had them, till I suppose Cadillac stopped because people were damaging them. 11:55 is the time. Anyone else with anything today? I'll be asking tomorrow, get this, and you can look it up. Who was the man who began the jack-o'-lantern thing, the jack-o'-lantern story? What was his name? Yeah, he was from a long time ago, incidentally, way back probably in the 1500s. And tomorrow I'll ask what his name was, or what they called him. But today we found out that the candy corn is the Halloween candy. But not much of that is given out this... Oh, you can still buy bags of it. But the big candy now is the candy bars and things like that. Candy suckers. Yes, okay. Now, what else do we have here? Oh, I'll ask tomorrow the man who began all this pumpkin thing. Now, here's another interesting thing. Next time you open up a pumpkin, smell it. Does it smell like pumpkin? No, it doesn't. It certainly doesn't. What makes a pumpkin smell like pumpkin? Allspice. What would we do without allspice? Because pumpkins do not smell like pumpkins. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. 11:47 is the time. We're about the end of our rope today, but I'll ask tomorrow about a man who brought about the title, the jack-o'-lantern, and also the pumpkin. Now, originally it was called, not spelled, P-U-M-P-K-I-N-S or whatever. It had a different name, but it did start with the letter P. So what was it? But that's coming up tomorrow. 11:57 is the time. Tomorrow, Swap Shop returns. What time? 12:15? Okay. Folks, we had one caller already this morning. And and Glenn Coble will be doing Swap Shop, and he'll be up to his ears, I'm sure. And so keep in mind, if you want to sell anything, to call here. But you'll have to wait if somebody else on the line. We have only one line. We're called Stingy Telephone Line. No, all we can afford is one line. So that'll be coming up tomorrow at 12:15, Swap Shop with Glenn Coble. What else will I be asking tomorrow? Let me see. Oh, I'll be asking the woolly worm story. Not that I want to know what the woolly worm predicts, but why or what is the woolly worm the larva of? Now, you'll have to look that one up. Look up woolly worm and to find out what that woolly worm is the larva of. What kind of an insect? And why does it vary in color? Well, I can tell you, the woolly worm's diet pretty well regulates what color that woolly worm's going to be. Okay, so our number here is 740-383-9944. So those are some of the things we'll be talking about tomorrow. I didn't give you the railroad name, did I? It goes through Chatfield. I'm usually giving away my answers, you know. But I'll give you the initials, W, L, and E. Now, what railroad would that be that owns the tracks that go through Chatfield, Ohio, that cross Route 4, that will soon have a gate and flashers stopping all that Lake Erie traffic? Although, I don't believe in years and years I have ever been stopped by a train in Chatfield, Ohio. Now, I have in Attica, in that area, but not in Chatfield. Okay, we're going to end the program this morning. Glenn Coble will be coming up, and stay tuned. Hope you all have a nice day today, and enjoy.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary